Well, officially, good morning. It's good to be with you again. I meant to thank everyone last night for the food. It was so delicious, and appreciate all your hospitality so far. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Last night we looked at the fact that this man, Christ Jesus the Lord, this man receives sinners. And what wonderful news that is if you're a sinner. It's the only time that's wonderful news. If you're not a sinner, then that's not good news at all. But if you are a sinner, and if I am a sinner, just hearing this faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, just hearing that will make us cry, "I'm the chief." Just hearing when God speaks to the heart, and that resonates with the heart, "I'm a sinner, and Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners." That's who He came to save. It makes His people cry, "I'm the chief. I'm the chief. Save me. Please save me." If you're looking for a sinner, look right here. Well, this morning I'd like for us to look at how God saves sinners. Who God has saved and how He saved them. And we can see that right here in Romans 11. If you look with me here at Romans 11, verse 1, it says, "I say then, hath God cast away His people?" Now let's start right here. God has a people. God has a particular people. A particular people. Verse 1 says, "Hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew." Foreknew. His people, which He foreknew. Every soul that God ever chose to save, He foreknew them. He knew them beforehand. That's what it means. He knew them beforehand. He said in Jeremiah 1 verse 5, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I knew you." David said, "You know everything about me. Everything about me." God foreknew His people. He chose them. He hand-selected them. And the good news for every person that He chose is this. He has not, and He will not ever, cast away His people. He foreknew a people, loved those people, chose those people, and every soul that He chose, He said, "I will not cast them away. I will not do it." Verse 2 says, "God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew. Know ye not what the Scripture saith of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying," he prayed to God, saying, verse 3, "Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him?" How did God answer him? He said, "I have reserved to myself." You ever made a reservation You know how you make a reservation? You call beforehand. You select beforehand. He said, I have reserved to myself. It's wonderful. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant. There's still some of those chosen left over. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. God still has a people. God still has a people. That's wonderful news. That's worthy news of preaching the gospel. God still has a people. That's why this earth is still going on. It's the whole reason it's still rotating. God still has a people. He has a people that He has purposed to and that He has determined to set His love on. Set His affection on. Pour His blood on. That blood that He shed for the sin of His people. Verse 5 says, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant. There's a remnant. There's a chosen people out there according to the election of grace. The election. God's election. When we have an election, we have an election coming up, don't we? When we have an election, we cast our vote. That's what we do. We cast our vote. We're the ones doing the choosing. You go into that little booth, and we're the ones doing the choosing. And we choose based on the candidate. We choose based on his or her qualifications. We're looking at the candidate to see what is the qualifications of the candidate. We're looking at the political views and the opinions of the candidate and other things like that. We're choosing based on the candidate. Well, thank God, he held an election. And in his election, he was the only one who did the choosing. And not one of his choices was based on the candidate. Not one of his choosing. None of it was based on the candidate. He did all the choosing, and none of it was based on anything in the candidate. It wasn't based on anything about the candidate. It wasn't based on the ability of the candidate. The candidate didn't have any ability. What's the qualifications? None. This was the only thing that could be said about the candidate. This was the candidate's campaign. All right, this was the campaign. This is the only thing that could be said about the candidate. He was corrupt. This one is a corrupt candidate. Nothing but corruption. This candidate is wicked. This candidate is vile. This candidate's a liar. He's lying to you. This candidate is a cheat. The only thing found in this candidate is sin. But God held an election. It was not an election of merit. It was not an election of worthiness. It was an election of grace. That's what it was. It was an election of grace. Grace means unmerited favor. It was an election of unmerited favor. Grace means goodwill. That's what it means. Grace means free gift. It was an election of free gift. God chose a people to give a free gift to them. And that free gift was salvation in the blood of the Lamb. Salvation in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When people first hear of God's election, it's such a foreign thing. So foreign. You tell them about God's election, or they read something on God's election, it's so foreign. The first response of the flesh is always, "What? What? Well, that's mean. That's hateful. That's not fair. That's not right. I don't want that kind of God. You mean He just chose and that's it? You mean the ball is in His court and that's it? I have no say in the matter?" That's not loving. A person will think that until God reveals sin to that person. Until a person really sees what he is. Men and women, the flesh does not know sin. We don't know sin until God reveals it to us. But once God opens the eyes, just like He did for Isaiah, and he cried, "Woe is me." You know, that's Isaiah 6. 1 through 5, Isaiah saying, "Woe is y'all." And then in the year that King Uzziah died, God revealed Himself. He said, "I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. The seraphims would not stop crying, 'Holy, holy!' This just God is holy, and the door of the post were shaking." He cried, "Woe is me. I'm a man who is undone. I have unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people of unclean." We're all undone. We're all sinners. And once God reveals that every person on earth is running into hell, wanting hell, wanting rebellion against God, saying, "No, God," the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." There is in italics. Fool has said in his heart, "No, God. I reject you. I will not receive you. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, said, I choose you anyway. I'm going to send my grace to you anyway. That old hard heart you got there, I'm going to break that heart. And I'm going to put in a heart of flesh." What is the heart of flesh? It's Christ's heart. "And I'm going to give you a love for me just like I have a love for you." As soon as a person sees that, they cry, "Thank God for election. That's the most loving thing I've ever heard in my life. I've never heard such kindness. In spite of all of us, had God just left us alone, all of us would have just been destroyed. Eternal damnation, eternal destruction. But God's love was so great, in spite of us, He poured the blood on us. And He stopped us and He drew us to Himself." For our message this morning, I want us to stress, I want us to focus and really enter into what verse 6 has to say about this election unto salvation. Verse 5 said, "Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace." He said, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." What Paul is saying in that verse of Scripture is, salvation is either a free gift of God to us. I mean, totally, completely free. Or we earn it from Him. It's one or the other, but it can't be both. It cannot be both. either, and this is God saying this, either salvation is by God's grace totally, or it's by man's works totally. Because it cannot be both. It just cannot. False religion, you know, there's so much false religion out there. Just so much false religion. And there's all these different thought processes and such on and so forth. But it all comes down to one thing. Man is trying to mix works and grace. It all comes down to that. If you want to know if the message you're hearing is a false religion message, then assess this question right here. Is it mixing works and grace? If it is, it's not the truth of God's Word. It's not the truth of salvation. If a man does not earn one piece of his gift, then it's not works, and a man can't claim that it is. And if God has freely given it, if a man gives a gift and it's totally freely given, then the recipient can't say, I earned it. And if the recipient earned it, the giver can't say, I gave it. You all go to work. Come Friday at 5, you want a paycheck. Your boss can't say, I'm giving this to you for free. He's not doing that. You earned it. Well, this is the issue that keeps men and women so bound up in error, so bound up in false religion. It's mixing works with Christ's gift. And as long as we do that, that's where we're going to stay. We're going to stay in error. We're going to stay in false religion. But if God ever reveals to a man the work of Christ alone, grace alone, no strings attached, free gift salvation, wrought by Christ, start to finish. If God ever reveals that, then man will stop mixing. He won't mix anything with anything. He will see and he will say, salvation is by grace. It's by grace. Free, pure, total, complete, all of grace. Salvation's by grace alone. Look with me, if you would, at Galatians chapter 2. This is a very powerful verse of Scripture. Galatians 2, verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. What does that mean? That means if salvation comes to men and women because of their own works before God, then there was no point in Christ dying. No point. If after Christ's death, and think about this, if after Christ's death, man is still in the same boat that he was in before Christ's death, then what was the point of Christ's death? Ultimately, what that verse is saying is, if it's by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace would not be grace. Now, let me see if I can illustrate that to us. I gave this illustration to the brethren in Kingsport, and I believe it got the point across, so I'll give it to you. Let's say that a person decides in his heart and mind, you think about it first, you decide to do it. Let's say a person wants to buy a present for somebody else. And this person ponders it, ponders what the present will be, and then the person goes to the store and buys the present. pays for it. The store says you can have it. The person brings the present home. This person wraps the present, writes a card, puts a card in it, takes it to the person that it was bought for, places it in that person's hand, and says, "This is yours." Now, at that moment right there, what does the recipient, the person who received the gift, what does that recipient have to do first before the present can actually be his? Once you get to that stage, and it's right there, what does that person have to do first before it can actually be his present? Nothing. Nothing. It was his in the mind of the giver when the giver was thinking about what the present would be. It was his when the giver went to the store and purchased the present. It was purchased for him. It was his the moment the giver notified him of it. All that previous work had been done. And then the notification came. This is yours. Already bought. Already paid for. This is yours. The recipient didn't select it. The recipient didn't purchase it. The recipient didn't wrap it. The recipient didn't deliver it. But it was his. It was totally his. Freely given. That's freely given. No strings attached. It was his. That's grace. That's what grace is. That is unmerited favor. That's pure good will. Now, the moment we mix the recipient's work with the gift, the moment that a recipient receives something and something's required of him to receive it, we ruin it. We totally ruin it. It's not grace anymore. All right, I want to illustrate that. Let's say that one of you ladies decides you want to buy a pair of shoes for another lady. You see them and you think, "Oh, that looks like her. She'd love those." So you buy them. You take them home. You wrap them. You bring them. You give them. The lady opens them and she says, "Oh, I love them." And as she's reaching her hand in the box, you say, "Ho, ho, ho, ho. They're not yours yet. You give me those earrings in your ears, and you can have these shoes." You ruined it. You see that? That's not grace anymore. That's not grace at all anymore. We men go to the, you know, Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever, and we see something for another man, and you buy that, and you take it to the guy and say, "Here, I bought that for you." The guy says, "Oh, I've been needing one of those things." "Ho, ho, ho, you got to pay me for that. Here's the receipt. You owe me." That's not grace. Even if you say, "Split it with me," you just pay, you know, it's $25, you pay me $12.50. That's not grace. That's not unmerited favor. That's not a free gift. It's not grace. And you can't claim it to be. Grace would no longer be grace. Ephesians 2 says, "By grace are you saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." It's the gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to show you three things about God's grace, and then we'll close. We'll be done. The first thing is in Romans 11, verse 5. It says, "Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace." God's election was an election of grace. It was of God start to finish. Start to finish. Him choosing who He chose. It was not dependent on the ones He chose at all. There was no requirement laid on them. No requirement at all in order for Him to choose them. All sinners were the same. All in the same lump. And the ones that He chose did nothing to warrant or earn His choosing of them. It was an unmerited choosing. It was an election of grace. Let me show you just how unmerited it was. Look with me at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." He chose every soul that He was ever going to choose before the foundation of the world. Every soul that would ever be chosen in the world was chosen before there ever even was a world. Before the foundation of the world in Christ. Romans 9 verse 11 says, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger." So God's election was an election of grace. All right, the second thing is right here in Ephesians 1. Verse 6, it says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." God's redemption, the payment that He made with His own blood to forgive all the sins of His elect. Christ's redemption, it was a redemption of grace. According to the riches of His grace. What that means is the payment was of Christ start to finish. Election was of the Father start to finish. Redemption was of Christ start to finish. Hebrews 1 says, "Christ by Himself purged our sins." By Himself. There was no payment of man mixed with the payment of Christ. That payment was 100% freely given by Him. It had to be. It had to be. There was no other option. Our brother read a moment ago in Ephesians 2, verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved." We couldn't make any kind of payment with His. We couldn't mix any payment with His. We were dead. We were dead. Dead in sin. Romans 3 says, "We were justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus." So, His election was an election of grace. His redemption was a redemption of grace. And the third thing is His calling. The calling of His people to Himself by His Spirit, through His Word. It's a calling of grace. It's a calling of grace. What that means is it's a calling to grace. It's a quickening to grace. It's a quickening of grace. And it's a quickening to grace, to a knowledge of grace, to a belief of grace, to a hope in grace, to a trust in grace. The grace that God has given to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1, verse 9, it says, Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He chose us. He saved us. And He called us, and He did it all by grace. All of it by grace. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace that is greater than all my sin. Where sin abounded, grace has much more abounded. Wonderful news. If it's grace, and it's not works. Never has been. Never will be. Otherwise, it wouldn't be grace anymore. I love how there's a song we all know well. And the end of it, I pray this for us, spiritually speaking. May God shed His grace on thee. All of us. For Christ's sake. All right.